Luke chapter 11, and we're picking it up now in verse 45, just moving right speedily through the book of Luke. After tonight, we'll be one chapter short of being halfway through. Amen. And we started, so at that rate, we got about a year to go. Something like that, amen. But it's good. I mean, Luke covers everything. It's when it comes to Jesus Christ and just about anything the Lord ever did, man, you get a good dose of it in Luke. And I just like learning about the Lord and when He was here and what He did and His ministry. And you just see Him. You see Him. Just get a little more glimpse every time as we go here through the book of Luke. And Luke chapter 11 and verse 45, then answered one of the lawyers. So we already know we're in trouble. Amen. No offense to there's some saved lawyers. Amen. There are some good lawyers. Amen. They're just not around here, but there's some good ones, I'm sure. I've just never met one. That's not true. I've met a few, and they were saved. And so that just shows that Jesus really can save anybody. Amen. But anyway, he's talking to these folks, and he talked to the scribes and the Pharisees, and now he's bringing up the lawyers. Woe! Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus saying, thou reproachest us also. How dare you? I'm offended. That's what's going on there. That guy's saying, when you say that, you're making us look bad. You didn't really mean to make us look bad, did you? Yeah, he did. That's exactly what he meant. And he said, woe unto you also, you lawyers. They invited it, so he's going to bring it. For ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe unto you. For you build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Truly ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and ye build their sepulchres. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe unto you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered. And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently, and to provoke him to speak of many things, laying wait for him, and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. Now, Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, just to be in church tonight, for your people that are here, eager, Lord, to get something from you. I pray that you'd fill them. Pray that you'd give them something, Lord, from your Word that'll help them. God, that'll open their eyes to some things, convince them of some things, exhort them, rebuke them, whatever is necessary, Lord. Just pray you'd have your way in the service this evening, that Jesus Christ, our precious Savior, may be exalted and glorified through it all. Magnify now thy word. We ask and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, in this passage of Scripture, it's kind of bloody there. If you look in verse 54, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong place, in verse 50, that the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias. You know what he's talking about here, brethren? This is Jesus talking about killers. Killers. Murderers. Killers. Shedders of blood. Every day in the news, what are you seeing? Every day in the news, who got killed today? Who killed today? Who was killed? Who died? What war is going on now? How many were killed today in the war? Can you imagine being God and just sitting up there and seeing all the murder, all the death from war, and just all, God's looking at all that. He's seeing people dying here, one dying here, one dying here. We go back in our Bible and we have Cain and Abel, the first story of that. God is seeing that thing multiplied hundreds and thousands of times every day across the face of this earth. Could you imagine just being God and looking back and seeing all that? It amazes me. God sees all that and He just doesn't burn the whole thing up. It really does. I can understand that. Bible says the earth was filled with violence and God sent a flood and drowned them all out. Listen, I understand. I don't blame God a bit for that. You get down to man's basic nature, and every man, there's a murderous streak in there. There's a hatred in there. Where come wars and fightings among you? Amen? Come they not, where they come from? From your own lust. From your own flesh. That's where they come from. Just had that movie, Theater Killer. He went in there. How many people did he kill? Like 20-some people or something? Just go in there just for fun. Just start popping them and just start killing them left and right. It's just, it's sick, man. It's sick. You read there about Cain. When Cain killed Abel, that's the first killer in the Bible. You got Pharaoh. Pharaoh shows up. What's he going to do? Kill all the little ones. Kill all the babies. Can you imagine just killing babies? You see, in this country now, we've become so callous and some coarse to it. And you think about how many millions of unborn, innocent babies have been killed in this country since Roe versus Wade back in the 60s. I mean, you're talking going on almost 50 years of just killing and killing and killing. And God sitting back and just watching all that innocent blood being shed. You know what the Lord said? There's coming a time. There's coming a judgment day. He said sooner or later, all that blood is going to be required. Sooner or later, it's going to have to be answered for. God says that blood, it defileth the land. And sooner or later, He will spew out the inhabitants thereof. And God will bring judgment. Today, there's killing going on in Detroit and D.C. and Chicago and New York and Mobile and New Orleans and Afghanistan and Iraq and Syria and Iran and Libya. It's just, abortion on demand. Well, I believe in choice. You mean a choice to kill? Aren't you something? I believe in a woman to have a choice. Really? A choice to kill? They should have a choice to take innocent life? That's sick. Amen. Man, I wouldn't trust anybody like that around my children, I can tell you that much. Anybody that was that perverted and thought that way, how coarse, how hard-hearted to become that way. Just kill innocent kids. They got to the point there in Israel where they were sacrificing their own kids. Sacrificing their own kids to those false gods. Just sick, just wicked. And that's where it all ends. It ends in violence, it ends in murder. People, mankind equals murder. That's what it equals. Now, if you were God, like I said, what would you think about that? Look over there in 1 John chapter 3. I want you to think about something here. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. You know you're saved? How can you know you're saved? The Bible just told you how. Because you love other Christians. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Man, if you have a problem of hatred and that kind of stuff, if I were you, I'd check my salvation. I sure would. Amen. All I know is after I got saved, I love Christians. Amen. Even with all their flaws and even with all their quirks and even with everything else, they're still the best bunch going. Praise God. It's good to be around people that love God, that love the Bible. Amen. That's my crowd. That's who I love. That's who we ought to love. Now, in these scriptures here, we're going to see that the Lord's talking about three things that kill. And when we're talking about killing here, we're not talking about physical, we're talking about spiritual. Spiritual murder. Spiritual killing. You think about the aborted babies, well, praise God, at least they go to heaven. Amen. As terrible as it is, maybe it was better off. Maybe if, like Job said, it would have been better off if I had never been born. Maybe Lord knows. I don't know. I don't have all that stuff figured out. But I'm telling you what, all those innocent babies, they go to heaven. Amen. They're gonna be there with the Lord for all of eternity. So it's all gonna work out okay for them. I don't know about those that did it. I hope they get saved. I hope they repent before it's too late. Amen. But there's all those, I've seen murderers in jail get saved. Amen. How about that? The Lord would save a murderer. But what about a spiritual murderer? What do you think God thinks about that? See, if you took somebody's physical life and they were saved, they'd still go to heaven. But what happens when you damn someone to hell? What have you done? You're the worst killer there is. You're a spiritual killer. You're a spiritual killer. And that's the reason Jesus all riled up with these fellows here. He knew they were true murderers, not just physically. They were murderers spiritually. And that's what he's talking to them about here. Look back there in verse 45. Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus saying, thou reproachest us also. And he said, Woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for you laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe unto you, for you build the sepulchre of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Truly you bear the witness that you allow the deeds of your father, for they indeed killed them, and ye build their sepulchres. Say, what were they? They were lawyers. Now listen, when we say lawyers there, these are Jewish lawyers. Do you know what that means? That's like the Apostle Paul, before he was the Apostle Paul. He was raised at the feet of Gamaliel. You know what he was? He was a lawyer. He knew the law inside and out. He had that thing down to just a fine, fine tooth comb, man. He could just go through that law and just quote every single thing. You know what that caused Paul to be? A killer. A murderer. Amen. That's what the law does. You know what the law does? It brings death. That's what it does. It brings death. The Bible says the letter killeth, the spirit giveth life. Look there in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Romans chapter 7 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we'll read first there in Romans chapter 7. Look with me in Romans 7 and verse 8. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. But for I was alive without the law once. What does he just say? I was alive without the law once. And then what happened? When the commandment came, sin revived and I died. That's talking about when you're a little kid and you're coming up and then all of a sudden that commandment comes and you understand that law, and you understand good and evil, and then you break that law and you sin, and what happens? You died. And from that day forward, you have to be born again. And if you don't get born again, you'll split hell wide open. Doesn't matter if you're 6 or 7 years old. Listen, if you've sinned against God, and you know you've sinned against God, and you haven't repented and come to Jesus Christ, if you were to die tonight, you'd go to hell, and you'd start burning, and then you wouldn't stop burning. You'd just keep burning. And I mean, you just keep burning. Your eyes would be burning. Your throat would be burning. Your tongue would be burning. Your larynx and your throat would be burning. Your stomach would be burning. Your back would be burning. Your feet would be burning. Your legs would be burning. Your eyes would be burning. Your fingers would be burning. You'd be burning in fire for all of eternity. That's what will happen to you if you don't get saved. Say why? Because soon as that law came, you know what it did? It killed. It killed you. It didn't kill you physically. See? The wages of sin is death. Yeah, maybe eventually it'll kill you physically, but it killed you spiritually. The first second you came to it. The first second you put yourself under it. Verse 10. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. The law kills. Look over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And look at verse 56. Verse 56. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is what? The law. You better watch out for anybody trying to put you back under the law. Amen? Now, I believe that we as God's people should keep the commandments, and because we have the love of God in us, we can keep the commandments. What I'm talking about is watch anybody that wants to put you back under rules and regulations that you need to do or follow, in other words, to go to heaven. You with me? Anybody that tries to do that, they're trying to put you back into a yoke of bondage. That's the people that believe that you can lose your salvation. See? And you start messing around that stuff, next thing you know, well, maybe I lost it. Well, maybe I'm not really saved. Well, maybe nobody can really know. And the next thing you know what you are? You're dead to God. God can't use you. He can't use you because you don't even know if you're saved or not anymore. Amen? What happened? The law came. The commandment came. Sin revived and you died. The law, it's a killer. Well, we're going to keep the Sabbath at our church. We keeping the commandments at our church. Really, what are they? Don't even know what they are and you're keeping them, right? Come on now. The law killeth. The Spirit giveth life. And all you have to do, ask anybody like that, just ask them if they're keeping all the law. They don't even know what all the law is, man. You ever read that Old Testament? How many of you have got a battlement around the roof of your house? Then you're a lawbreaker. Did you know that? How many of you right now are wearing more than one piece of material? In other words, something's polyester or something's cotton or something's wool or something. Everything has to be the same material. That's under the law. You want to go back under that law? I don't think so. You know what it did? It brought death. It brought death. Look back there in Luke, and that's all it'll bring. Jesus Christ, he's talking about some killers here. And these are spiritual killers that'll kill you spiritually, that'll kill others spiritually if you're not careful. And the first one he warns us about is that law. The law works death, brethren. It's the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ, in him alone, that brings true life. Look with me in verse 51. From the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered it not in yourselves, and them that were entering in, ye hindered. Not only are they going to go to hell themselves, they're going to make sure they bring others with them. They're going to proselyte, they're going to deceive others, and take others right to hell with them. Why? They've taken away the key of knowledge. What's the key of knowledge, my friends? What's the key of knowledge? It's right there. It's this King James Bible. Anybody that wants to go against this King James Bible and stop the Word of God from getting out and reaching people, you know what they are? That's someone that's trying to take away the key of knowledge. Well, that book's kind of hard to understand. Just go by our church and we'll tell you what you're supposed to believe. That was what Rome did for years and years and years and years. And they kept the Bibles that they did have that were just perversions anyways, but they kept them chained to the pulpits so that nobody could even have access to the Word of God. They did everything in their power to burn Bibles everywhere they went. Every time, whether it was Wycliffe or Huss or Luther or anybody else trying to come out with Bibles, and Erasmus and Tyndale, all of them, when they would come out with Bibles, that Roman Catholic Church was right there trying to gather them all up, getting all those French Olivetans and getting all those Italian Bibles and those Russian Bibles any way they could and try to get them and burn them all. Why? Taking away the key of knowledge. Think about it. What has the Muslims done? What are the Mormons done? We have another book. We have another test. You know what they're doing? They're taking away the key of knowledge. Brethren, it's through this that someone can know that they're saved and going to heaven. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may what? Know! The key of knowledge, right there. That you may know that ye have eternal life. You know what they've done? They've taken away the key of knowledge. The devil's attack is against this book, and he's got plenty of people out there attacking this book. He don't want it preached. He don't want tracts going out. He don't want the Word of God going out. Any way he can prevent it from going out, because it's through this book that people are going to give life. Well, I've heard story after story of some person in some faraway land just happened to come across a gospel tract somewhere, or just a piece of an old Bible, or maybe get a chance to go on the computer and see something in their own language about the Lord. They've never heard of God. They've never even heard of a Bible. And yet they're able to go on there and maybe just a fragment and a few verses, and through that God brings them under Holy Ghost conviction and saves their soul. This book is powerful, brethren. It's able to give them knowledge of God. It's able to give them knowledge of holiness. It's able to give them knowledge of the truth. It's able to give the knowledge that you have a mansion that these young people can sing about. Amen. Thank God for the key of knowledge. You know what those lawyers were doing? Taking it away. No, you're not going to have it. You're not going to have it. You just go by what we say. You know what they did? That's how you kill spiritually. You want to kill someone spiritually? Take away the Bible from them. You know what they've done in a lot of these Muslim countries and everything else? It's illegal to have Bibles. Go into Saudi Arabia, you can't bring a Bible with you. Go into Kuwait, you can't bring a Bible with you. See? A lot of those countries, Pakistan, you can't bring a Bible with you. You go in there, you try to bring one in a plane and watch what happens. Amen? And they don't just burn it in front of you. They might threaten you even more severely. Say, why? They have a problem with that book. What if the Bible could really get into Pakistan? What if the Word of God could really get into places like that? What if the Word of God could really get into Saudi Arabia? How many more millions of souls are going to perish forever and ever and ever because of those that have taken away the key of knowledge? You know what will happen? It'll bring death. This book produces life. It produces life. But that what they're wanting to do is take away. What do we have here? Holding forth the word of what? The word of life. He says, you won't enter in. You won't let anybody else to enter in. Think about fellas like Darwin. Charles Darwin. Oh, man, I just saw something. That was a blessing. I was on the Yahoo News thing yesterday on the Internet. And they had this congressman from Georgia, and he's running uncontested in his district. And you know what he said? And they're just having a fit, man. You know what he said? He got up in a church, and he was speaking to one of the big old churches up there in Georgia, and he said, evolution is out of the pit of hell. A U.S. congressman. Thank God, man. Thank God there's still one or two out there standing for something. Amen? And he said it just right. He said it just right. Evolution. Amen? Evolution, what is it? It's out of the pit of hell. You know how many souls it's damned? You know how many souls it's ripped off for all of eternity? Because they get someone to doubt the Bible and doubt the simplicity of salvation. Karl Marx, same thing with all his communism and everything. Hitler. The Muslims, all of them. You know what they've done? They've taken away the key of knowledge. Look back there in Luke chapter 11. Chapter 11. Now, what happens as a result of all that? Here's what happens, verse 43. Or 53, I'm sorry, verse 53, my bad. Verse 53. And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently and to provoke him to speak of many things. Why are they provoking the Lord? Why are they trying to get him to talk? Why are they trying to get him to speak of many things? What are they attempting to do? Verse 54, laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth. Why? That they might accuse him. Brethren, when they brought Jesus Christ before Pilate, when they brought him into that judgment, they got a few false accusers and tried to get him together. And then you know what the accusation was? He said that destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it again. He did say that. He did say that. And he was right because that's exactly what he did. He rose it 3 days later. He came up. But they didn't know that he was speaking of the temple of his body. But even then, when he was speaking the truth, when he was speaking of righteousness, you know what they tried to do? They tried to accuse him with it. See? You know what they realized? The power of that tongue. The power of that tongue. Can you imagine? These are the lawyers. These are the Pharisees. These are the scribes. And they're just waiting for him just to say one thing wrong coming out of his mouth so that they can get him. Could you imagine living like that? Could you imagine living your life like that? That's what Jesus had to put up with them fellows. They're just waiting for one thing to come out that they might accuse him. And you know what? They never could. They never could. There was no guile in his mouth. Amen? He was no sin in his mouth. No deceit came forth from those lips. No guile, no trickery, no serpent's tongue, none of that. It was grace and it was truth and that was it. And that's what came out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you something. If somebody wanted to do that with you, would they be able to find something? If they were looking to catch something out of your mouth that they might accuse you, could they do it? Have you been gossiping? Does the Lord know it? Could you be accused of the Lord for it? You realize what's going to cause you most trouble in your life probably is your own tongue. Amen. Amen. You can amen that. Use your tongue for that. Say, amen, Brother Ray. That's true. That's very good preaching. I needed to hear that because I'm wicked as hell and I have a problem with my tongue. You ain't going to get victory until you admit it. Now admit it. Come on. That's the problem right there. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. You know what you can do? You can bring life. We see people get saved. You can witness. And you know what you can do with that tongue? You can kill. that thing right there. Dangerous, dangerous thing. That little piece of flesh right there. Take life. Innocent life. Damn someone to an eternal hell. Look with me in James chapter 3. And if you're not careful, you'll commit lingual suicide. Amen. But most of the time, it won't be yourself you're hurting. It'll be someone else. That tongue's a powerful thing, brethren. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to guard it. Lord, help us to put it on watch. Look with me in James chapter 3. We covered this stuff a while ago here just recently in Bible Institute. And it's still true. It's still in the Bible. Chapter 3, verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. He's talking about being trying to be a ruler, a master over anything. But you know why he said that? You know what he's starting off with? If there's one thing you need to learn to master, you know what it is? If there's one thing you need to have control over and learn to discipline and get under control in your life, you know what it is? It's your tongue. Look at verse 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, there it is, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Man, I'm still working on it. I'm still working on it. You know, my problem is I got to talk for a living. And that's hard. You realize that between Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, visiting, talking to Christians, texting with Christians, emailing Christians, counseling with Christians, and then another, 10 hours of Bible Institute. I don't know how much all that ends to be, but it's more than any talk radio fella does. They do about two, average about two. If they got a 3-hour show, you got about 2 hours of talk, risk commercials. But you figure that right there. All that time going that, I've got to work on that thing. I've got to work on that thing. Because I realize all it takes is one slip. All it takes is one false word. And you know what can happen to so much good? Shh. Just burn it up. Just destroy. Bring life, and then just kill it. Boom. Just with that thing right there. That's a powerful thing. That's a powerful thing right there. We need to learn to get a control over it. He said in verse 2, if any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Are you perfect? Are you? Would you like to be perfect? He just told you what to do to become perfect. You got something to work on now. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Listen, that thing right there. Have you been working on it? Have you been trying? Have you been praying? Have you been asking God to help you bring it under control? It'd be good for all of us to do, I believe. Amen. We may never get there. We may never get to that perfect man, but we ought to be striving for it. The Bible says to strive for the masteries. If there's one thing we need to master, if there's one thing we need to get control over, it's that tongue. Verse 3, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Now think about that thing, that little bit that goes in the horse's mouth will control an entire horse. Those horses can get pretty big, can't they? But just a little old piece, just a little old piece of wood or metal like that big, just stick right in there, you control that whole horse. If you can control that thing right there, you can control that whole horse. That little helm on that ship, and that thing's turning that governor. You know what that is? That's a rudder. That's a rudder. You ever seen the rudder on a ship? It's just a little flap on the back of that ship. And that little thing right there will control that giant ship in whatever direction, whatever way it's going to move. Just that little thing. That little thing controls so much. That's the point. Did you notice what both those things have in common? What does a ship and a horse have in common? They're both methods of transportation. Why do you think the Lord used that in reference to the tongue? You know what that tongue does? It travels. And we're not careful sometimes, you know what? We say something and we think, well, this is just going to go right here and it'll stop. So it won't hurt anybody. But you know what happens? it goes out and it doesn't stop. And it keeps going. And it keeps going. And it keeps going. What did he say? What's that next little thing he talks about? Look at that, verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts of great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. How many times has hundreds of thousands of acres been burned because of a spark? Because of a match? Because of someone that didn't put a campfire out all the way? You know, when Smokey Bear had to come and arrest him and all that. Amen? But think about it, just a little fire. Do you realize how much destruction could be caused with just a little fire? It's deadly. It'll kill. You know what I've seen it do? I've seen Christians do that and they work on other Christians. They kill other Christians. It's a bad thing. Well, come on over to our side. Come with our little clique. We're against the pastor, and we know you've got some problems with the pastor too. So let's just all get together over here, and we'll help each other. You know what you're doing? You're burning each other. You're killing each other, and you don't even know it. Death. Death. The power of that tongue. That's a terrible thing. That ought to scare you. That ought to shake you up. What am I doing with this thing? Truly edifying. Am I building up? Am I warning? Am I encouraging? Am I teaching? Am I giving understanding? Am I somehow comforting? What is it being used for? What's it being used for? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's Proverbs 18:21. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Verse 6. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. It's like a snake, man. And one bite, you can end up killing. You could end up killing. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things not so ought to be. Look back with me there in Luke chapter 12. What's he talking about? Death. Blood being shed, killing, murder. You know how you'll kill someone spiritually? You'll do it with your tongue. How about you? Life. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Amen? Which one are you going to let come out? Amen? Are you going to bring someone to the key of knowledge? Or are you going to prevent someone from getting the key of knowledge? Are you freed from the law? Are you seeking to set others free from the law? Listen, if you're doing those three things, you know what you're doing? You're giving life. You're bringing life to a world in darkness, a world in death. And that's what people need. Amen? They need to get from out under the law. They need the Word of God to set them truly free, to give them that true key of the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, knowledge of eternal life. Amen? And if it's going to happen, it'll happen with this right here. Is that what you've been using it for? Is that what you've been using it for? When you stand before Jesus Christ one day, and we all will, if you're saved here, you're going to stand before God. You're going to give an account. Amen? For the deeds done in the body. Here's a question. When you stand before the Lord, how many will you be able to say, Lord, look, I gave life. I set free from the law. I showed them the key of knowledge. And I spoke the right words to bring life. Amen? To bring comfort. To bring help. To bring edification. To bring instruction. To bring wisdom to others. See? It's all about what you're doing down here, brethren. Are you bringing life? Or are you bringing death? Because sooner or later, there's a judgment coming. And all that blood and all that death, sooner or later, it's going to have to be taken care of. It will be paid for. And you know what Jesus said to that generation? It'll come on this generation, and it'll be taken and given to another. And you know what happened? That's exactly what happened. Where's Israel at today? Where has Israel been the last 2,000 years? How'd that work out for them? Pretty good? He said, it's coming on you. All that judgment's coming on you. And it sure did. Come 70 AD, that nation was nothing. And the people were just scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Say, why? Because God always keeps His word. He always keeps His word. And we ought to, too. We ought to, too. We ought to be careful what's coming out of here. Amen? Let's make it a point in our Christian lives that we're going to do what we can to bring life into the world, not death. Let's stand for prayer. Brother Nate, would you close us in prayer, please?